Okay, we're picking up Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. We are three lines from the top of the Vechein. But as we just remind ourselves where we're holding, Rava brought a proof that that when it comes to that the lulav had to be even bimina. Rava said afilu beikra didikli, even with the strips of the bark and the top of the bottom rather of the trunk of the tree, for a lulav is going to be okay to do the eged, to do the binding with. So then Rava brought a raya, a very long raya from the Breisa, which had a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. What can you use for the schach? Can you use materials that are only kosher for the dollar minimum, or can you use all materials? So the Chachamim first brought a proof against Rabbi Yehuda's Kavachomer, and then the Chachamim continued, that's where we're holding it, V'chein Bezer, another proof against Rabbi Yehuda, that we do not hold that you can use, that you don't have to, rather, you don't have to use a dal minim as your schach, you could use any material that's not Mekabel Tumah. V'chein Be'ezra Omer, as the Pasuk says, Beferish in Ezra, really, it's interesting, it's also Nehemiah, we mentioned earlier, the Gemara, I think it was on your base, the Gemara mentioned over there that we had, that also called it Ezra, really, where it was safer Nehemiah, and Rabbi Kivir pointed out that already that Ezra and Nehemiah, according to Chazal, one are called one Sefer, which is called Sefer Ezra. So this is actually from Sefer Nehemiah. This is in Sefer Nehemiah. The pasuk says, The pasuk says they should go out to the mountains. They should break the branches of olive trees. You should take pine needles and the branches of adasim and the palm leaves and also alei etz avos. Interesting. Alei etz avos was also referenced the different type of the Gemara already asked that. That was the other type of the hadas shota, right? The ones that look weird, look funny, but they're still part of the hadasim. Last sukkah they make sukkahs as written. So we see from over here that they're telling them to make the branches of the sukkah and make the schach with things that are not kosher to be the dalad minim, which is hainu, like let's say ala eitz shemen, to use the olives that we don't, right? Olive leaves are obviously not kosher for the dalad minim, yet the Gemara mentions that clearly those are kosher. So the Gemara now just waits, so what are Rabbi Yehuda going to do with that? L'chor zaber fereish a pasuk in Tanakh, he didn't forget the pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda savar hanila defanos, no, that these, the other minim, that with regards to the olive leaves and the other things that are mentioned in this pasuk, those are used for the walls of the sukkah. We mentioned the walls of the sukkah don't have to be the dalad minim, whereas the other minim, the hadas, the tamarim, and the Eitz Avos are going to be l'schach. It's interesting to note, I think the Kapos Smarm asked this question, but we point that Eitz Avos is a similar mean to, it is the hadasim, but it's a hadasim that look funny, and those are actually puzzled to be used as hadasim. But still, apparently, fundamentally, that there's something that's, they're still called the dalad minim, even though they're not allowed to be used as a hadasim because they're psul, because they look strange. But still, we see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the schach has to be one of dalad minim. Again, so this was all just the Shitas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim responding to each other. So Rava now didn't finish his proof yet. So it says, Rabbi, what do we learn from this Mishnah? Tonight we learn in the Mishnah, Misachachem b'nisarin divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that you're allowed to cover the sukkah with boards. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Now, the only part of the dal minim that can be made into the boards are going to be these, the two parts that Rava mentioned. Rava told us again with regards to the sieve and the ikra didikli going to be the two things that are going to be they're going to be kosher. So those things are only things that could be used as the schach. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda, the sieve, ikra didikli are apparently kosher to use them as a lulav, because If you don't say that, if you don't assume that this is going to be kosher for the lulav, those are the only things that can be made from the trunk of the trees to be used as the schach. So we see Eshmamina, the Gemara says that's actually a good proof from over here, that we see the trunk is considered the same, the min, and also the other min, also the ivy, the bottom over there, is considered part of the valid for the schach. Therefore, we see that it's part of the dal minim, so too, just like he says it's valid for the schach, so too would he hold it that it's valid to use the egged, that he could use it to bind it with. That's all the proof we just concluded. The proof of Rava. Now the Gemara just asks a question within Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Umi Rabbi Yehuda Arbas Minim in Mindi Achrini Lo. According to Yehuda, is it really true that only you can only use the dalad minim and not anything else? But don't we learn in a brisa? If you use the schach with the boards of eretz tree, that's not one of the dalad minim, with the width of four tefachim, which you remind this gemara should sound familiar because we discussed this gemara. Machlokas Shmuel, I think it was Rav the other side who discussed this. Divrei Hakol Psula, that everyone agrees that this is going to be puzzle. This was the shita of Shmuel. This is a proof for Shmuel. Ein ben marba tefachim, if the boards are not four tefachim, Rabbi Meir posts Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher, as Rabbi Meir says that this is pasul. That was according to Shmuel Zahar. It was Rabbi Yehuda on the other side of that. So this was machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel on Yodala that discusses machlokas. Moder Rabbi Meir shim yesh ben neser lemesek lo neser, that if between each board there is a space equal to the width of the board, shemaniach pesel b'neim, you could put the pesel is the lashon of the materials that's kosher for schach, right? The psolis is coming out from the boards. Uksher, and the sukkah is going to be kosher. So we see from over here that Erez fundamentally is something that's kosher for schach at this point. That's something that Erez is not, is a cedar tree, that's not a tree that's one of the dalad minim, yet Rabbi Yehuda says that it's kosher. So the Gemara asks now, my Erez, what is Erez that the Braisa must be referring to? It must be referring to the Hadassim, it must be the way we understand Hadassim. Kid Rabbi Barfuna, and where can I bring a proof for this? As Rabbi Barfuna says, Damar Rabbi Barfuna, Amre Bebe Rav, they say in the name of Rav, Asara Bini Arazim Hem, that there are 10 different types of Erez, Shnemar Eten Bamidbar Erez Shita Vehadas. It says, it's referring to over here Hadas, and it's referring to them as an Erez. So apparently the Pasuk in Yeshayahu has 7 trees, so the Gemara is understanding that these trees are called part of the Erez, even though they're really under the form of Hadassim, that Erez is called Hadassim. So this really meant that it's the material of an Hadassim, and therefore it is from the Dalad Minim, so you really hold it, that's why it's kosher for the Schach. Again, or Yehuda is holding Lashita, so that you can only use the Minim of the Dalad Minim to be kosher for your Schach. Now the Gemara continues with the next part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Amar Afilu B'Mashiach, Rabbi Meir says you're allowed to bind it with material that was not necessarily from the Dalad Minim. So the Gemara now says, Tanya, we learn on a Braisa. Amar Rabbi Meir, says, Maisa B'Yakra Yushalayim. Yakra Yushalayim are like the Chashuv ones. Who are the Chashuv ones of Yushalayim? Rashi says, Nechbar Yushalayim Ha'ashir, the wealthy ones of Yushalayim. She'ogdens Lulavim, and B'Gimel Shalzav, they used to put, they bind their lulavs with the golden things on the top. They used to have golden rings around it, and they were clearly using it to bind it. So the Chor, that's a Raya. Amar Lo Misham Raya, so the Rabbanan is responding back to Rabbi Meir. Is there any proof? That they would be binding it from its own kind below the gold wrapping, and therefore that's why it was kosher. The Chorim just are bothered by why is this Braisa any more beferish than the Mishnah? Mishnah had the same exact back and forth, Lechora. So the Kapos Torah points out maybe over here we're just trying to point out that only wealthy people used it, whereas the other people didn't want to use it to spend extra money on something they couldn't afford. You should try to, you know, only spend things within your means. People don't understand that a lot of times. You should only be spending within your means. Okay, but either way, the proof again is that the upper wrapping was just as a decoration, and the lower wrapping is the ikar wrapping, so therefore there was no issue of considered baltosif, and that's no raya from the gold wrappings. Fine, that's what the Gemara is bringing over here. So now the Gemara continues, Amaralu Rabba Lahana Magdalia Shana Deve Reish Galusa. Rabba said to those who would be in charge of binding the Hoshanas in the house of Reish Galusa, right? That was the most chashuv house in Bavel. He was the one in charge of everything. He was the most powerful person. Kikadlio Shana Deve Reish Galusa. When you bind the Hoshanas in the house of Reish Galusa, Sharabe Besiad Kieche Dilo Tabu Chatzitza. You should leave a handle, let the bottom come out from the binding, so that the binding shouldn't have a chatzitza, shouldn't be a barrier between the Hoshana, between the lulav and the person who's taking it. Now Rab was of the opinion of the Chachamim who hold the lulav is eino tzaris agad. However, he does hold that lechatchila, that the Hoshana should be taken to be bound together, and if it's done in a way that's not going to be called, it's not going to be lekicha, so therefore an area at the bottom should be left open so that one could take it with his bare hand on that area. That's what Rabba held. So the Gemara says, Rava says, kol lina oso enechotzes, anything that's used to beautify the mitzvah is not going to be a chatzitza. It's not going to be a chatzitza because it's considered part of the Hoshana and beautifying the mitzvah, and it's considered hidr mitzvah, and someone who's holding it is considered as if he's holding the Hoshana itself. That's the lechora. What we do also, we rely on that. We rely on Rava that we use the people don't hold the lulav and esrog. Most people, a lot of people, some at the Chabad do have don't use the kosher glaf that we have the holders. But once we are holding the holders, we hold that lechora is going to be fine. So where's the Amar? Rabba also said lo linkos inish hoshana bisidura. When the person is taking the dalad minim, you shouldn't use like a handkerchief to hold it. Don't use a different min of a handkerchief, because that's going to be a chatzitza deva'ina lekichatama v'leika, because you require a complete taking, and this is lacking that, because you're using the scarf to take it, you're using this handkerchief to take it, and that's lekichas tam, that's not considered completely taking it. And Rava disagreed on this also. Rava amar lekicha yedavar acher shmei lekicha, that taking something by means of taking something else, that's considered valid, that's considered kosher, so that's going to be not a problem of lekichatama, and that's not going to be an issue. So that's what I'm bothered by. What do you mean? No, sorry, we shouldn't already discuss this. At the end of the day, this is Lechora going to be a shayla of a chatzitza. Why isn't there a problem of chatzitza? So they point out that this is not going to be an issue of completely taking it when wrapping it in something that's going to be, it's also considered like batel to it, it's like an accessory to it. So therefore that's going to be wrapped around his hand, that's going to be considered taking something completely, because it's wrapping around something which is like an accessory to your hand. It's like as if your hand is taking it. That's our Shlomo, some over here want to answer for Rava. Interesting question. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Rava says, Minam Minala. From where do I know how to say this? Taking something by the means of taking something else is going to be kosher. The Gemara says this. Now we learn Ezov Katzer. What is this Ezov of Katzer? So with regards to the mitzvah of Ezov, we should just remember when it comes to Parah Aduma. So a person has a chiyuv to take, well, not person, when someone is Tamei Meis, so how does it become purified? So the Psukim describe, you have to have something sprinkled with water, is mixed with the offer paraduma, and a tara person has to come with the azov and dip it in the water and sprinkle it upon the person who is tameh. So when the Beis HaMikdash was around, Rashi points out, they would take it in the throughout the cities with these narrow these tubes, and they would store them in it so that people, whoever needed it in every city to become tara, would be able to take it. So the Mishnah is talking about a case where the azov was too short to reach the water at the bottom of the tube. So what do you do? So the Mishnah tells us, azov katzer misapko bechut uchavash. You can lengthen it with a thread or a type of spindle, and you attach the thread or spindle, so Rashi says, so it's long enough to reach the bottom of the tube. And then what do you do? V'tol v'lamayla, you dip it for the purpose of the latire of the person, and you raise it up. V'olchez v'ezov amaz, and then you grab the ezov, which is a hyssop, and you sprinkle the water that's on it. So then when dipping into the water, so Rashi points out, you can only hold on to the attached thread or the spindle, but when sprinkling the water, you should really hold the ezov itself. So that's what Rashi says. Amai, so the Gemara asks, why is it mutter to dip it in the water while holding this chutu chavush, while I was holding the thread of the spindle? So the Gemara says, because bilakaf t'tava marachmana, the pasuk says you should take the hyssop and dip it in the water. That implies while dipping it, a person should take it. And how do you take something? So l'chora l'ashvamina, we see from here, l'kichai devacher shmei l'kichai, taking something through the means of something else, meaning over here, you're not actually touching it. So therefore, that means that you're still taking it, and that's going to be a valid proof for the fact that you're not actually touching it, is still going to be valid as taking it. And where says, Mimai, no, you don't have to assume that that's the proof. Dilma shiny hasa, maybe there's different. Kevin dechad reiki gufei dami, the thread of the spindle is considered part of the ezov, it's considered part of the ezov itself. Here, however, when person is holding the dalad minim, with his handkerchief, whatever he's holding it with, that's not attached to it, maybe that's not going to be considered taking. That's not a lakicha. So the Gemara says, right, it can't be that that's the proof for Rava. So therefore, ela mehacha. Maybe Rava brings a different proof from the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about a case in Para, where nafal mishofaris l'shokis, if the ash fell from the tube into the trough, and the Mishnah is referring to the process of mixing the ash with the para aduma with the spring water in order to mekadesh it and make it fit for being a tovel with other people using it to be entire other people. So l'chora, so what do you do? So you have to put it in a spring into a kli, and then the ash comes up and you stir it around. So the Gemara learns out, Rashi quotes the pasuk that it has to be mayim chaim el keli shamayim nosin chila el keli v'lo yasek afar b'neim. Rashi quotes that you have to take some of the ash and put it in the spring water. So that phrase is the spring water implies that the water should be from a kli first, and then the ash should only be added later. That's what Rashi is quoting over here, and that's what we learned from over here. So Gemara says, so if that's the case, so enough of l'shok is puzzled that in a case when the ash fell from the tomb into the trough, puzzle, that's going to be puzzle. Because when you're Bekadish, it's not going to be kosher unless the ash is placed on the water. You have to have kavana. And it has to be with kavana. So therefore, if you don't put it with kavana, it's going to be puzzle. Now turning on to the next Amud. So now, ha haypilu hu kosher. So this implies if you intentionally threw the ashes from the tube into this water, it's going to be kosher, even though he didn't hold the ashes with his bare hand. Since the Mishnah of the Chora told us that the Mekadesh, when the ash fell in the water accidentally, it implies that if a person did it on purpose, then it would be kosher. So but you didn't actually touch it. Amai, v'lechvanasana rachmana, but wait a second, it says that you actually have to touch it. Person has to touch and take the ashes and mix it with the water. You're not actually doing that. By taking it by means of something else, you're taking it with something else, that actually is going to be valid. And this l'chora is a good proof. We seem to accept Rava's proof over here. Now we quote Rava as another ruling by Rava. V'yamar Rava. Rava said, Lodladus inish lulavid b'hoshana. A person shouldn't put the lulav down into his hoshana after you already tie the hoshanas together. The dilma nasri tarpi, because some of the leaves of adasman aravos are going to come detached by the lulavs by putting it in. V'havi chatzitza, and that's going to create a chatzitza with the dalad minim, because at the end of the day, between the lulav and das and ravos, you need to have them be bound together. You need lulav tzarech eged. So someone who's lifting it and you're not going to have, you're going to have things that fell off, that lechor is not going to be tzarech eged. That's not going to be the end of a chatzitza. So the Gemara says, Rav Amar Mimino and Chotzitz. Rav says, no, even though some of them fell off, so that's not going to be Mimino, something that's itself is not going to be a chatzitza, since the hadasim and ravos are from the same kind, even though they're now fallen off, but still, that's not going to be a chatzitza, and that's not going to be an issue in this case. Vyamar Rav also said, that's a question that we're going to ask, why do you have to say the same exact thing, why the other way around? Loligos inish lulav b'hoshana. A person shouldn't cut off the bottom of the lulav after it's been tied to the hoshana, again referring to the dalad minim. So if the lulav is too long and it's going down too far, you cut it off at the bottom, as Rashi points out. Rather, you should remove it from the bundle, and then you should cut it and then retie it to the bundle. Why? Because the mishara hutza, because v'havi chatzitza, if you're going to have some of the detached leaves of the lulav are going to remain, then they're going to be a chatzitza, they're going to be a barrier between that and the other dalad minim, and then you're going to have a problem. Again, we point out that's the same exact din, just as opposed to the aravos and hadasim falling out. Here the lulav is falling out. Why do you have to mention both? That's a shayna achronim. By the way, Rav Amar, maybe bina mechutz, it's that the things that are the similar, they're not going to be a chatzitza to each other. Now the Gemara continues, Ve'amar Rabba. Rabba says, Hadas shel mitzvah, with hadasim that is designated for the mitzvah, asr la riach bo, it's asr to smell them on sukkahs. So lachal maisa, person should be careful not to smell the hadasim on sukkahs, as we know, because on sukkahs it's asr to derive benefit from things that are hukath mitzvah, so things that are mentioned from the dalad minim are going to be puzzles. Rashi quotes, we learn it out from the chel shem shemayim matzis sukkah liyaser ba'anah kol shiva hal vehukta lemitzvasa, and we learn out from over there that would be the din by everything else. Also, something that's hukat lemitzvasa, something that's set aside for the mitzvah, cannot be used for other purposes of benefiting from it. So that's nachor. That isra is going to take effect when you actually start the first time you shake it. If even let's say an erev yantav, I put it in and I make everything, I get everything ready and I put everything together, that is not going to make it puzzle. Designating is not going to make a puzzle. That's not going to be hukatz mitzvah. So yet, only when I actually do the mitzvah. So it's also to smell it. Esrog shemitzvah. What about smelling an esrog? Mutal riach, but there wouldn't be a fundamental issue of smelling it on sukkahs. My time, but why not? Because hadas del riach kai, with regard to a hadas, which normally is meant for smelling. What do people use it for? It smells delicious. So ki aksa, they have them in the coastal on Friday night. There's an in and out kabbalah to smell those type of hadasim. So they have them also there. So they smell delicious. They smell great all year round. People have them. When you set aside for the mitzvah, you're setting it for the purpose of smelling it. What do you use an esrog for? Esrog is generally a fruit. So you use fruit to eat. So you normally use it for eating. So when you set aside for the mitzvah, you're setting aside for eating. But the use of the smelling it is not the primary benefit of it. So that's not considered something that's therefore going to be something that's a main benefit to using the esrog, and therefore that would not be an issue. So that lechora is a question on sukkahs. The esrog is designated for the mitzvah, and it's not used for the smell. There's a shiloh, so then we said the maker didn't allow to smell it. But the question is, do you make a bracha though? Do you make the bracha? There's a bracha that you make on smelling a nice smelling fruit, anosin reach tova peros, which is the normal halacha you should make when smelling a nice smelling esrog. So lemaisa, it's machlokas whether or not, because of the fact that it's not used for the smell, is there a shiloh? Do you make on at least in sukkahs for sure? Do you make the bracha of anosin reach tov peros? So lechora, the Shulchan Aruch, because of the fact that it's a machlokas rishonim, he actually advises against smelling it bichlal on sukkahs, and you shouldn't smell the esrog. The Magen Avraham explains that this is only when the esrog is actually being used for the mitzvah. At other times, you're allowed to make the bracha and smell the esrog. That's a machlokas. Others say that no, that's maybe not the case. Lechora, I don't know. Everyone has to ask the Rav whether or not you should have machmer even when you're not taking it for the purpose of mitzvah, like during the day. Can you go smell? You love the smell of an esrog. Can you go smell it? That's a shayla in the achron. Now the Gemara continues. V'amar Rabba. Rava also said, Hadas b'mechubar. If you have a hadas while it's attached to the tree, mutar la riachbo, to be mutar to smell it on Shabbos, esrog b'mechubar. And esrog while it's attached to the tree, also la riachbo, it's also to smell it on Shabbos. My time, what's the reason? Hadas del riach kai. Respect to hadas, which is, what is it used for? It's for smelling after it's cut from the tree. Isharis lay lo as la migze. If, what's the purpose of, you're getting the main purpose is to smell, so you go to smell it, that's not a problem of going near it on Shabbos, you're not afraid you're going to come to cut it off. Cutting it off is an iser d'oraisa potentially when you use it of kotzer. So the Gemara says, esrog de l'achila kai, however, when esrog, which is, what is it supposed to be used for eating, for the tree, ishar said le'aselam mingze, but if you, the whole purpose is you want to eat it, so we're afraid you're going to pluck it off. So if you come to smell it, we're afraid you're going to pull it off, and plucking it off is a major issue, that's an iser potentially of kotzer on Shabbos, so that's why we don't allow this with regards to the esrog. Now the Gemara continues. Rabba also said, "Lulav biyamin v'esrog b'smol." The lulav should be right, and the esrog should be left. My taima hanit plus a mitzvah, because you have the main amount of mitzvahs. You have three components of the mitzvah. Lachor doesn't mean three. Lachor, they're not four different mitzvahs, right? We pointed out that they're ma'akev each other. Lachor, it's one mitzvah, but four different components of the mitzvah. Lachor, that's what we're saying. V'hada chadat mitzvah, whereas the esrog is only one component of the mitzvah, and therefore I hold the lulav in my right hand and the esrog in my left hand. Rabbeinu Chananel, he seems to hold that if you do it in the opposite hands, you're not yotze, you're not fulfilled obligation. Many Rishonim disagree with this, but maybe like Chachil were choshish for it to at least do it again without a bracha, to be choshish for the rach. So that's a shaila about what does a person who's a lefty do? Everyone, that's all iter. I think Rav Chaim Kanevsky is all safer on iter yad. So that here also is a big shaila. Does he hold it in the right hand or left hand? Does this because his left is everyone else's right? That's the whole shaila. I think like Achila, they post can recommend, I'm not mistaken, to do both with regards to a lefty to switch it up and to be machmer in both. But everyone who's a lefty, I don't double check, but check to ask your Rav what he holds. And the Rav says, Amar le'Rabbi Yirmiyahu le'Rabbi Zreika. Rabbi Yirmiyahu said to Rabbi Zreika, My tam lo marachin ela al tilos. Why don't I make the bracha of al tilos lulav? Why don't we make the bracha maybe an al tilos esrog or al tilos hadasim or haravos, whatever they might be? So Gemara says, However, gavah mikulam, because lulav is the tallest of them, since it's the most chashuv one. Therefore, it's called by the lulav. We make the bracha al natilas lulav. The Gemara says, "Legabe la esrog lebarech." So then, why don't you pick up the Esrog higher. The Gemara was assuming right now that Rabbi is assuming Rabbi Zeka that the halacha we mentioned that the lulav has to be a tefach above all the other things. So he says maybe the Esrog is not bound together. Maybe you can put it higher than the lulav, and then you would be able to make the bracha on the Esrog. So the Gemara says no. Amar le minog of amakla. That's not what I meant. I meant that it when it grows, the natural growth of a lulav, the palm tree is going to be bigger than all the other ones, so therefore it's the most chashuv. It grows taller than the esrog or the other ones, so therefore we take the esrog in dafka, and you're right, and you make the bracha dafka on the esrog. That's one of the famous trivia questions: is when can I make a bracha of al natilas esrog or al natilas aravos or al natilas hadasim? So the Mishnah Berurah discusses where if this actually happened to me. I mentioned this happened in the yesterday's daf. That actually happened to me once. So where if one of your minim was pasul. So let's say your esrog was pasul. I shook the lulav and esrog. I didn't realize my esrog mamash was pasul. The okits fell off, and my esrog was pasul. So now when I take a new esrog, so the Mishnah Berurah paskins, you make the bracha of not. You already were yotah the lulav. So now the ikker point of why you're taking it is for the esrog. You take all the al minim. You make the bracha of al netilas esrog. That's a fascinating. Trivia question: when can you make the bracha? And the same thing would be aravos. If you have pasul aravos, you didn't realize that the aravos are totally pasul, totally cut. I don't know how you would notice, but they're totally cut off. Or the hadasim are not mishulash. So then, in that case, also you would make the bracha of al natilas hadasim, al natilas aravos. That would be the case of the trivia of when you can make the bracha and not on al natilas lulav. Okay, but generally, almost always, 99.9% of the time, everyone's going to make the bracha of al natilas lulav. Okay, says the next Mishnah. Now the Mishnah of Vehechan Umin Ananans. Now we're discussing waving. The Gemara's asked, where did this come from? The idea of waving. Where does this even come from? So we're going to mention that from which point do they wave the lulavim? So the Gemara says in Halo right now. Behodu Hashem Tchilav Asof and Behodu Hashem Kitov Kilam Chasto at the beginning and end of each of these psukim. There's a lot of different minhagim. When to do it? Do you do it on all six? Do you do it when the chazan says it? Does the chazan do it? Does only the tzibur do it? Every hodu? That's a lot of different minhag about that. The ana Hashem Oshiana. But what's clear is at some point during these you'll make it. And ana Hashem Oshiana. Also, everyone agrees that you're going to shake it. Divrei Beis Hillel, however, Beis Shammai Umrin Af Va'am Hashem Matzlicha. Also, when you say ana Hashem Matzlicha and it brings success to us, you also say it. The whole pshat that the Rishonim bring down. Why Beis Shammai hold what they hold? Amar Bekiva, Tzofa, Yisi, Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, I saw Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, when they were saying Halal, Shekola, everybody was Shekola, everybody was Shekola, Hayuminanis Lulavehen, Vehem Lo Nanu, Elabo, Anashem Hoshiana. So everyone was waving their Lulavim, and they were only doing it at Anashem Hoshiana, even though apparently wherever they were, the minhag was like Beis Shammai, they've held that Halacha always is strictly Halacha Ke Beis Hillel, and they did differently. They held that you should only do Beis Hillel. They did not shake their lulav by Anashem Hoshiana against Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says, Ninanoa, Mandachar Shammai, what in the world are we talking about over here with waving? Where does the Tana assume that we know there's a of to wave, and this is when we should do it. Where did the Mishnah mention anything about waving? Someone says, no, Hasamka, we are. We're coming off the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak. The Mishnah beginning of the parak, Kol lulav sheyesh bo shlosha tvachim, why? Kedi la'ananeh bo kasher, that any lulav that has length of three tvachim, enough to wave it, is going to be kasher. That implies you have to wave the lulav. So now we're asking in our Mishnah, Kamar Hechem Ananan, so Tana is telling them, which point in Halal do they wave it? So we see there's a chiyuv to wave it, and we're assuming that you wave it during, well, it's interesting, we didn't tell you where you wave it during Halal, but you mentioned there's a chiyuv to wave it. So once we're mentioning waving it, where do you wave it during Halal? Now the Gemara says, Tana Hasam, we learn in a Mishnah. With regards to the shteil lecha b'shnei kivsei atzeres, the two breads, the loaves of bread and the shnei kivsei atzeres were brought as a part of the tznufa of waving during Shavuos. Ketzad u'osos, how do you do the waving? Maniach shteil lecha b'shnei kivsei, you put the two breads on top of the two lambs. Maniach yedo tachtem, you put your hands beneath them. Umenif, and you wave them. Umolech umevim alei morid, you bring them outward and bring them inward. You raise them and then you lower them. Shenamar asher hunaf ve'asher hu ram. As the pasuk says, that you should bring it around, and that's the way that you should wave it, is in all four directions, and that's the idea of waving and bringing it around in circles. And where's the Amar B'Yochanan? B'Yochanan says, "Molech umevi lemi she'arba ruchos shelo." You extend them and you bring them inward for the one who the whole world is his. That waving is demonstrating that we're doing it l'shem shemayim. That Hashem, we know Hashem is in all four directions. That this is symbolic. That we know that Hashem is everywhere. Again, Al Pi Kabbalah, there's a massive inyanim about shaking all the four directions, what they represent, etc. So you should realize, even if we don't have the Kabbalistic intention, you should realize that there's very big things happening. Not just stuff like shaking things around. That there's a very, very big things are happening when we shake the luv in the way that we do. Malah more the mishmayim shelo v'ar shelo. We're doing it for the Akash Baruch Hu, who's shemayim v'aris. Everything is his. The marav masne hachin. In Eretz Yisrael, they taught the following: Amar Rabbi Chama bar Ukva, Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina, Molech Umevi, Umelech Umevi, Kedei La'atzer Ruchos Ros. When you do it, it's stopping the bad winds from coming and ruining the produce. Umale Morid Kidilatzer Tlalim Raim, and also raising and lower them is coming off the damaging, the dew that's damaging to ruin, again, the produce was so important to the keeping of Eretz Yisrael and the economic prosperity of Kal Yisrael, so that this is also to helping us to make sure that this is stopping that when a person does it like that. So that's what we do. It. So the Gemara says, Amar Yosi bar Avin Veitim Rab Yosi bar Zivla. Those are we learn from over here. Turning on to the next one now, Sheyare Mitzvah Ma'akvin Esaporanus. That even this isn't a main part of the mitzvah. That when you bring a korban, there are certain things that are going to be ma'akiv. There's some things if you don't do them, it's puzzle. And if there are other things that are not ma'akiv, that if you do them, you should do them lechatchila. But if you miss them, it's not going to puzzle the korban. Here, the wave, the tznufa, the whole tznufa, the waving is only lechatchila. If you do them, it's not going to be essential. If you don't do them, if you forgot to do them, it's going to be kosher. Yet we see that even the Sheyare Mitzvah Ma'akvin Esaporanus, a big chiddush over here, even the things that aren't ma'akiv, is not even essential part of the mitzvah is stops the preventing punishments. The kosher, and obviously doing the main part of the mitzvah is going to do it, bringing up the lulav and things like that. So tznufa shar mitzvah, so we see that the tznufa is not an essential part. If you forgot to do it, it's going to be kosher, and it stops the harmful winds and the dew. And we see from over here that it's going to be, Rashi quotes the whole source in Torah's Kohanim, that the Gemara brings down, tznufa l'chaper v'chitnume chaper zelo ein kapara ela v'dam ela she'imasat l'tznufa shar mitzvah shar v'lo asa ma'ala ala v'kosuf ki'ilu lo asa min achubar v'kiper klomar alpi keeper she'in tzarek l'avi kumarnacha. The Gemara learns out from over there, along Joshua, that Be'etzem, that tznufa l'chaper is teaching us that the tznufa is not ma'akev the korban. So now we're going to continue. Amar Rava, v'chein b'lulav, the same thing with regards to lulav, that even though when you bring it all four directions, it stops these harmful winds and dews, and that's not ma'akev, the mitzvah is shaking them, so that is still bringing in each direction, is going to stop the bad things from happening, and that's what we hold, that shaking them in the four directions is for that purpose. Now the Gemara continues. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, mimaitele maisela. Rav Acha bar Yaakov used to extend the lulav outward and bring it inward. Amar, din garba ena desina. Before he used to do this, he used to get excited. He said, he used to say that, like, I'm shooting an arrow into the eye of the Satan, because when the Satan sees that the Jewish people survived Yom Kippur, and they have, it's like their trophy, the lulav is like our trophy that we won the war against the Satan. It's a beautiful interpretation, and that itself, it was showing that, like, I win, there's my trophy, and he's like giving a shtach to the Satan. So the Gemara says, v'lav milsehi, but this isn't a proper thing for everyone else to do, mishum de'aisele grebe, you're gonna come to provoke the Satan. And now, if you're on the level of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, maybe, but he was such a tzaddik, but everyone else, you're gonna shove in the Satan's face, and then Satan's gonna put everything he can, all his kishkas, into trying to make you sin, even more so, because, like, you're giving him a shtach, that's a person's not supposed to want the Yetzer Hara and the Satan, because then he's going to come to test you more. So that's why a person shouldn't say this. With regards to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, maybe he was on a different level, but for everyone else, from one on, for sure, this is not something that should be done. The question, and the Achronim, I think, asked this question, is that, maybe I'm sure I remember, but they ask is that, wait a second, how did you do this? No, the Ritva asked the Rishonim, that at the end of the day, how do they do this during Halal? What do you mean? It's a hefsek. So Lechora, he didn't do this in Halal. That's a hefsek in the middle of saying your Halal. Apparently he did this, right, maybe right before he picked up his Luvan Esra, before he made the Bracha, or after he made the Bracha, before he was waiting for Halal. At some point he did it, but not obviously during a time where it's usher to speak, because that would obviously be a hefsek in saying his Halal. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, will pick up Mishav Bederech in tomorrow's daf.